We went for a meal a couple of weeks ago with a couple we met over here, Keith and Marisol. And anything weird, strange, or embarrassing always will happen with me. We were sitting, we were eating together, and I had this belt, like a really old belt, like a really, really old belt. Suddenly, from the middle of nowhere, my belt explodes. And like, okay, what do I do now? And then, the first time eating with this family, and I'm gonna have to take my belt off. And so I'm sorry, it's not that I am a little bit chubby or something, or I am eating too much. It's just, yeah, I have one belt and I use them until it's finished. So yeah, I was lucky enough for my belt to explode in our first time eating together. But it's brilliant, it's really good. When happens, it makes us one. That things we're not expecting. It makes us one. You always remember something embarrassing, and that's brilliant. Welcome on behalf of Christian Life Church. I always feels like when I'm sharing, it's the first time ever. So I'm over here shaking. I'm over here like I'm going to have a heart attack or something like that. First of all, I heard good things about the raising mothers. Yeah? By the way, for you to join, you need to be a mother, okay? If I'm not wrong. Yeah, so if you're a father and you want a group, you can start one, raising fathers. We need that, don't we? Yes, so please, we need parents. Who's a father over here? Can I see your hands? One, two, have over there, father. Yes, we need desperately a group called Raising Fathers as well. So if God touched your heart, and if or not, I can help God to touch your heart. I can make a really strong prayer and say, Richard, Sam, you can start next week a group. I'm joking. Don't worry. Anyway, welcome so much. It's a blessing to be here. We've been talking. I am really happy to be starting the last chapter of our series. We've been talking a lot about house. Probably you know how to build a house so far, because we've been talking a lot about houses. We've been talking about the work that God is doing in us. He's building us as a house. He's building us as a place where He lives. We are talking about the foundations. He has established on us His foundations, the foundations of the Father. He loves us. That's the beginning of everything. We were talking about from the ground up. He was building the walls, He was preparing the house, He was preparing everything. And we are coming now to the last chapter of this amazing time we've been spending together as a church, which is the purpose of the house, which is the reason of the house. Do you know how many museums are in the UK? Hundreds? A little bit more. They say there are around 2,500 museums in the UK. Yeah, that's a lot. And some of them, and actually a lot of them, they were one day, what? A house. A lot of the museums that you visit when you are traveling, when you are on holiday, they were once a house of someone. And basically, the house lost the purpose of it. It was a big building, a beautiful building. They had plenty of people inside. They fed a lot of people. But suddenly, it was becoming too impossible to maintain it because kids were growing and going to university and moving. And suddenly, people, they saw they have this huge house with no people living in, too expensive to heat. And now the house, it has no purpose anymore. So let's turn into something that people will come, they will see, they will pay a fee, maybe it will be free, but they will come and it will just, what? Contemplate. So the house lost its purpose and became something where people, they join, they go over there, you travel to see, you go to Paris to see the Louvre. And by the way, that little painting is so frustrated when you see Mona Lisa. I'm not an expert of painting. I remember when I saw Mona Lisa and I said, really? Because it's like the size of my hand almost. And I was like, and people, they pay, they go to museums, they go to the places everywhere. And usually they don't realize that they are in a building that one day had a purpose to receive a lot of people. But with the years, it lost its purpose and became a place where we gather people, but without the purpose of spending time together. And I believe that that's the last thing that will happen with us. Amen? Because the house that God is building will be forever crowded, will be forever noisy, will be forever full of people running everywhere, because that's the house that will be full of life, full of the Holy Spirit. And that's the purpose. God has raised us with a commission, a beautiful commission, a beautiful commission to go and be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. I want to invite you to open your book in Matthew chapter 28. Yes. Matthew 28. And it says like this. Matthew 28. We're going to read the end of the Bible verse here. The end of the chapter. We're going to read. Where is it? Yeah. Starting on the verse 18. Okay. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Please, Holy Spirit, we gather here this morning, and we want to know more about you, about your heart. There's a commission that was given to us. And as a church, we want to fulfill this commission. We want to understand our role in all of that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yes, over here we have a commission that is one of my favorite Bible verses on earth, because, of course, I'm a missionary. So I left one day my beautiful and hot country called Brazil. That most of you, who has been here in Brazil? Let's just take a little quick survey. Yeah, this side is winning, so I think you should sit next time over here, or you are not taking the side. Something is not working properly. But Brazil is beautiful, but it's almost the end of the earth, because for you to go to Brazil, it's going to fly at least 11 hours, if it's a straight flight from London to São Paulo. So I'm still thinking, when we go to Brazil with Elena, 3-year-old daughter, there's not much space to run. So it might be a little bit crazy. So going to the ends of the earth, going somewhere different, it can be crazy. It can be exhausting. It can take time. And sometimes you think doesn't seem to... We are an island. Everything here is beautiful. And it is. You drive 5 hours, 4 hours, you are at the beach. For me to drive to the closest beach, I need to drive 7 hours, 8 hours to get to see the ocean. So it's beautiful, it's really brilliant. And basically, when I think about this passage, it gives us the understanding of a full purpose. When we see Acts, the beginning of Acts, it said that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all of us, and Jesus said that we would be, the Word of God says that we would be His testimony from Judea to Samaria, I don't know how to pronounce that in English, and until the ends of the earth. There is a process, there is something that we need to understand, that is something complex, is something holistic, is something that is a part of an amazing project of God. And I was thinking about it, because sometimes we think that our local church is not part of something greater. And we think that sometimes we talk a lot about the body, we talk a lot about the process of God, of building this house and everything, and we forget that we are part of something greater and greater and greater. So Hannah, do you know, have an idea how many brothers and sisters you have in Brazil? I don't have. Do you know... There are so many. Do you know how many people you have, your family in India? This lady over here, she's amazing. How many kilometers did you run?
21 over 11.
I felt tired just by hearing it. I could not run that much. Yes, sports for me are those I can watch from the television, and I already feel tired about it. And this lady, she ran for, I cannot even remember, a lot of kilometers. And to bless, do you know who are you blessing? Brothers and sisters. A local church in the middle of the beautiful nowhere. Suddenly someone has the understanding of something greater, of something complete, something that is, I am a part of a local church, but actually it's not something just over here. It goes beyond and beyond and beyond. And I'm helping someone that I maybe I will never meet. That gentleman over there, can you just raise your hand? Yeah, can you see that gentleman over there with a shirt of England? Is it England, right? Yeah. I'm a fan of this gentleman over there. His name is Jonah. I'm not inviting him over here. But that gentleman over there, he broke my heart once. He broke my heart once. And I cried because of him. Because that gentleman over there has a missionary heart. How old are you now? 13. Someone who is 13 years old understood the local needs to have impact on the everything, on the Grand Commission. That gentleman over there, we were going to Brazil, and he raised some money for a school project, right? Yeah. And he basically, and we were talking about, we were organizing a youth camp in Brazil, and we had a lot of kids who didn't have any money to come. And he said he felt his heart to bless. Do you know the kids? No. And he said, you know, I want to send money for, and six kids, they were blessed with the money to go to the camp, youth camp, a Bible study, Bible youth camp, because of he was 12 years old at that time, who understood that people, I have no idea who they are, in a country that is a long way from me. I am responsible for them. So if you need to understand that you are responsible for someone, you can talk with the pastor over there. Those two amazing, Aaron and Jake. They are young and they understood that they are responsible. Something local. One day, Jenny and Erin, they knocked on our door with a dress for Elena. They understood. They were responsible. That young lady, she understood she was responsible. Something local. I am responsible. When we are talking about Grand Commission, when we are talking about building the house, when God is building a house, when we are talking about the family of God, I can understand that doesn't matter who it is. I am responsible. It's my family. And therefore it makes sense. It makes sense what we are doing here. It makes sense. How many months are we talking about the foundations team? It's been 6 months, the series we're doing. About 6 months. We're spending an entire year talking about a house, a family that God is building. Why? Because we need to understand that there is a commission given. One day, you probably met Marcos Rocha, and I was this young. God told me that he was going to bring me to this church. I was 16 years old. I prayed for this church for 16 years before I stepped over here. I prayed for you for 16 years before I could see you. And one day I was desperate because I didn't know, things were not working on the time. I was thinking that it should work. And I went to talk to Marcus Marcão, and I said, Marcão, I have this word. I believe that God wants to send me to Hereford, and I want to fulfill the Grand Commission, but I'm here, I'm local, I'm small. Should I go? Should I go? And I said, João Paulo, stop praying if you should go. The go was given already. Stop praying if you should go. Stop praying if you should. Stop praying. Should I bless my neighbors? Stop praying for that. Because the go was already given. Stop praying if you need to go to knock on your neighbor's door. Because the go was already given. There's a commission that was given already. Therefore, go and make disciples. But we usually prefer the verb come. We usually prefer the verb come. Come to me. All of those who are tired, we love this verse because there's this sense of coming. But actually, who is saying? Jesus is over there saying, come to me. What is the verb related to me? Go. Go to Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples. Therefore, go. Look, if you feel like, go to your neighbor. If you feel like, no, God has given a command. God has given a purpose to make disciples of all nations. I was this week back, we're back to a school where we are mentors. I've been doing mentoring and I have 12 kids. I am mentor of them and it's something amazing. And I'm facing already on the first weeks a huge challenge because I have really bad realities that I'm facing. Kids, there were terrible situations with family and everything. And I left last week the school and I was really broken with some things I saw. And you know, I left that place and I started to preach to myself because sometimes we need to do that. And have you ever preached to yourself? Sometimes Paulo just says, are you talking alone? Are you like in the middle of the shower and talking and talking and talking? And say, I didn't lose yet my mind. But I'm preaching to myself. I am seeing if one day I can become a proper believer. Like if I do the things I believe. And now I left the school preaching to myself. Because, do you know, you probably read a lot the preaching, the prayer that Jesus taught us to do, right? He said, give us our daily bread. Fantastic. And forgive our sins, or on my verse it also says debts. Okay? So our daily bread, how many breads? Is it singular or plural? Singular, one bread. Gives us our daily bread and forgive our debts. There is a plural over there. I left the school thinking, I'm over here, I'm local, I'm something so small. And Jesus started to say, no, JP, if I fulfill your prayers you did this morning, how many people will be fed? Let's say that Jesus will appear in front of you right now and say, you won the lottery. Today I will fulfill your prayers. The things you prayed this morning, ta-da! How many people will eat from the prayers you did today? If God chooses to fulfill the prayers you did this morning, and I left over there thinking about it, because so many times to bless my wife, to bless my daughter. And Jesus was saying, okay, but what about those children that don't have anyone to pray for them? Who will feed them? And I came to a conclusion that, do you know why there is one bread of many and many debts? Because every time I eat my bread and I see someone that should be eating my bread and is not eating, it's a debt. And that's why it's plural. Because every time I have a bread that is one, every time the church can make an impact all around, make disciples in all nations, every time I lose the opportunity to do that, each single person is a sin. And I need you. I need you. I have no idea the time. Yeah, nearly there, okay? I want to read with you. I won't be taking too long. I actually already took, I think. Yeah, can you open with me 2 Corinthians chapter 12? We're going to read the verse 14. So pretty much, Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and he was going for the third time to be with them. And he said like this, now I'm ready to visit you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you, because what I want is not your possessions, but I want you. Can you say you are far away from someone, but can you look around and say, I want you? Yeah. Or you can just say, so you don't need to, yeah, we're still on. Yeah, so everyone do like this to me. And I'll point to someone and say, yeah, thank you. Yes. I don't want your possessions, but I want you. And I lost over here. Yes, after all, children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. So I will, very gladly, spend for you everything I have and spend myself as well. For you, Hannah, I will spend everything we have. And not only that, but also ourselves. Do you know some? For you and for Gemma, I will not spend just everything we have, but also ourselves. There is a different standard when we're talking about the Grand Commission. Because it's the understanding that this house doesn't gather just visitors. This house doesn't gather just, and yeah, a local church. We are over there in Ross. If you think over here, we might have different nationalities. Who is not British here? I'm not British. Okay, brilliant. Who has a not British background? And it goes a little bit further, yes. In Ross, we might have, I don't know, 5 different nations over there. A local, small church that is growing, by the way. Yes, last Sunday we had 30 people and 5 kids. Yeah, it's growing. The Word of God is growing. And that's just one of our churches. The other church we meet in Ross has 1,500 people. Because it's a school, and the school is a church. And we are taking the church to them. So you want to know how many people we have in Ross in our 2 churches? One church we have 30 and 5 kids, and the other church we have 1,500. Because I'm over there. There's another Christian where 2 or 3 are together. Who is there with us? Jesus is there. We are taken until the ends of the earth. It starts over here. It starts in your neighbor. It starts in your next door house. It starts in the local shop. You are going to these places every day. What the devil wants you to do is not to stop going, because he can't. You were getting crazy to be inside your house all the time. You want to go. It's in your DNA. So what the devil will try to do is, okay, you will go because it's your nature, but go and do nothing. Go to the supermarket, but do nothing. Go to work and just get paid. Make disciples. Why? It gives too much trouble. So go, but don't do nothing. Go and make disciples of all nations. Spend your life. Spend your life. Do you know, every time I leave the school, crying. I know I cry too much. And I'll be nearly finished, I promise. Do you know why? Because I have 1,500 brothers and sisters over there. I just don't know them yet, but they are my family. Do you know why Paul and I, we were crying in Brazil when we were waiting, when we had our passports stolen? Do you know why we cried? It was a terrible situation. But there was a family here that we were desperate to see. You know, when I go to shopping, I'm not seeing a cashier. I was on Tesco Express. Ching, ching. Yeah, there. Yeah, marketing. I'm joking. And this guy at the cashier, he was so frustrated. He was looking frustrated. And I said, "How are you?" I said, "What?" I said, "How are you?" I said, "Are you asking how am I?" I said, "Yes, how are you?" I said, "Well, I'm not used to this question. So, yes, I'm terrible today. I had a terrible day." And I said, "No." And as I talked to him, I said, there was not many people in the queue, otherwise it would be like, yeah, it wouldn't work. But there was no one. And I spoke something quickly, and I said, "You always work on Saturday evening?" I went to buy some milk. I said, "Yes." I said, "Okay, so next Saturday I'll be here back again to get milk, and I'll check with you if you're okay." "Okay?" I said, "Okay." And the next Saturday, I went over there. I said, "I could not believe you would come." I said I would come. Well, I didn't see him again after, but that's strange. It's not strange. It's my brother. It's my brother. People that you know, that frustrating person at the cashier that is taking a long time, and you feel so frustrated, and you want to punch the person. It's your brother. It's time for us to go and make disciples of all nations. This place on earth, there is over 17,000 nations. And not when nations is not nation country, but people, groups of ethnic. 41% never heard the word of God. 41%, 50%. We keep talking that Jesus is coming back. Jesus won't come back until all the nation heard about his name. So we're still basically halfway to go. A long process to go. Therefore, go and make disciples. Therefore, go and make disciples. Are you making disciples? Or are you turning the house into a place of contemplation? When we make disciples, it's tough. Because when you're making disciples, the first thing they see is how terrible you are. They face the reality. They're going to face the belt exploding on the first time we're together. Yes? Therefore, go and make disciples. I want to finish with a quick testimony. I remember when I met that beautiful lady over there with Elena. Elena wasn't born. When I understood that God was calling me for missions, I understood I was not worthy for anything else. When I understood that I was talking about the Grand Commission, I wasn't worthy for anything else. Because there was not an option. It was a command. And when I met that lady over there, I said, okay, I have to fulfill a command that God called me that would take my family to England. But I need to get her on board. Okay. So how can I make Amor, what was your dream to be when you grow up? A businesswoman. So she wanted, all her life she dreamed to be a businesswoman. And suddenly she meets someone who wants to be a pastor. And I said, okay, I need to get her on board. How can I make her fall in love with the Grand Commission? So I think I was led by the Holy Spirit, because I said, okay, I need to make her fall in love with England. So Christmas in Brazil, summer, 40 degrees, really hot. Okay, I gave her her Christmas present. She opened the box and she looked at me and said, she didn't say anything, I could see on her face, that guy has a big problem in his mind. I could see on her face, because the first thing she took, it was a winter strong scarf. 40 degrees in Brazil, winter scarf, like heavy one. And then there was a guidebook. Do you know those guides, travel books that you have? And I wrote over there. It was 2007 or something. 2007. We moved to England, 2017. So I wrote on the book, Amor, this book, God told me about the Grand Commission. God told me that one day he would take my family to fulfill a command that was given. And he told me that one day he would take my family to the nations. We start local, we will grow, and we will go, and we will bless many. So I'm giving you a book, so you can start seeing all the places that I want to take you. Because our place, this is the place where our family is. So take a look, I'll take you, choose the cities I want to take you. We're going to go to all of them, the name of Jesus. And the winter scarf, it's because if you are pretty on summer, you're going to be stunning on winter. I had to get her on board. And my question is to you, are you on board? We only have 3 left Sundays to finish this series. What is left for you to be on board? How many disciples you have? Can you count them on your hands? How many names do you have? How many disciples do you have? Are you going for them? Being local is not an excuse, because you can be local and still bless the nations. Start with your neighbor, and when you see suddenly you know Portuguese better than us, like the Hankins. Why on earth a family learns Portuguese? Why would you use Portuguese? To survive? Why on earth did you learn Portuguese? But to talk to your family. Are you on board? God bless you.